Our New Testament scripture is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21. We continue the theme of the old and the new that you heard about in the children's sermon and also in the Old Testament. Listen to Paul's words to us today. So then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards. Even though we used to know Christ by human standards, that isn't how we know him now. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away. Look, new things have arrived. All of these things are from God, who reconciled himself to us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is important to know how much time you should spend looking forward and how much time you should spend looking backwards. At least it's important in driver's ed, right? Figuring out how much time to look through the windshield and how much time to look in the rearview mirror is a really critical thing for early drivers to learn. But it's not that looking in the windshield isn't important, but if you spend all your time looking in the windshield, you're pretty likely to run over something. Or through the rearview mirror, you're pretty likely to run over something, right? A squirrel, maybe another car, maybe a Cub Scout helping somebody across the street. Now, you do have to look through your rearview mirror sometimes. After all, if you don't, you might not realize that the car behind you is looking in its rearview mirror too often, and the thing that it is about to run over is you. But in general, it's a lot smarter to spend more time looking through the windshield than looking in the rearview mirror. I remember when I was taking driver's ed, the driver's ed instructor said that you should look in the rearview mirror once every 7 seconds, which seems like dangerous advice to give to a bunch of literalistic 16-year-olds. 4-1000, 5-1000, 6-1000, 7-1000 rearview mirror, 1-1000. You get the picture. Now, I'm not doing all this talking about driver's ed because I first got my first ticket in years recently, although I might have. The reason I'm talking about driver's ed is because this dynamic of how much time we spend looking forward and how much time we spend looking backwards is front and center in our scriptures today. What's the right amount of time to look in the rearview mirror? What's the right amount of time to look through the windshield? That's what Isaiah is telling us about. Now, the book of Isaiah is a long book, and when it starts, the Israelites are worried about the Babylonians that are going to come and take them into exile. So they're living pretty much where present-day Israel is. And when the Babylonians do come and take them into exile, they take them 900 miles away. Now, to give you something to measure that by, from Chicago to the equator is only 3 times longer than what they walked. They walked 900 miles. It probably took them about 3 months. So they walked 900 miles into exile. And there in exile, of course, they missed their homeland. Of course, they missed where they had been. Of course, they wished that things could be different. And into their need for consolation, God tells them this through Isaiah. God says, "The Lord says, he who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, Army and battalion, they will lie down together and will not rise. They will be extinguished, extinguished like a wick. So the Israelites need comfort, and what does God do? God tells them to look in the rearview mirror back at that time in the past when things were better for them. They need that comfort, and God encourages them to look in the rearview mirror, and I think they love it. I think they love it because when they look back at the Exodus, when they came free from Israel or from Egypt, as Mike was saying, when they look back into the past, they think that's when God was at God's best for them. They think of those plagues that came down on the Egyptians. They think about the frogs raining down everywhere and the boils on all the Egyptian cattle and the gnats everywhere where the Egyptians lived. And they look back and they think, wow, God was really up to something great back then, and now we're in exile. And I think as they look in the rearview mirror, maybe like we do sometimes, they look in the rearview mirror and they have these pangs of poignancy, wishing that life would be again exactly like it was before. So they're wishing for that, and then Isaiah goes on and he says, don't remember the prior things. They're looking in the rearview mirror, and the first thing he says is, don't remember the prior things. Don't ponder ancient history. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. Don't you recognize it? In other words, God is saying, you're spending way too much time looking in the rearview mirror. It's fine to glance back there once every 7 seconds, but if you keep looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to get in a wreck. You need to look through the windshield. If you don't look through the windshield, you're never going to see the new things I'm doing now, my faithfulness now. I was faithful in the past. I'm faithful now, and I'll be faithful in the future. But if you just look in the rearview mirror, you're never going to see it. So get your eyes off the past and look forward into the future. And as the years went by, God was true to his promise to do a new thing. So remember, they're 900 miles away. The Babylonians have taken them over, but then this new superpower comes. The Persians come and take over the Babylonians, and the first thing the Persians do is say, you can go back home. They go back home. God had answered their prayers. Maybe not exactly as they wanted, but God had answered their prayers, and God was doing a new thing just as he had promised. God had said, look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. Can't you recognize it? And by now, the Israelites and we can look back and say, yeah, we see it. They got to go back home. God was at work in the future. Now, if we fast forward 2,500 years to today, some of this might ring a bell for us, right? Sometimes we spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror rather than looking through the windshield. We do it in all different parts of our lives. We do it in our personal lives. Maybe a relationship that has gone sour, we remember when it was better. Maybe a spouse or a child or a friend who has passed away. Maybe our professional life, when we had a job that we enjoyed more, or now that we're retired, we think back at our glory days. It is so tempting to look in the rearview mirror instead of through the windshield. It can happen in all those different parts of our lives, and of course it can happen in a church too, right? One of my favorite people in the church said, she's been known to say, I love change until it happens, right? I love change until it happens. You know, and we might look through the rearview mirror at our life here. Maybe we look back at a time when we remember the church was really the way we wanted it to be and we felt so close to God. And maybe it was when you joined and were first a member, or maybe it was when you were growing up here, or maybe it was when your favorite pastor was working here. We have this temptation, right, of looking in the rearview mirror. And the problem with putting our eyes only in the rearview mirror is that we only focus on what God has done in the past. Because of course, when those times when you were looking back and feeling great about things, yeah, of course God was at work then, but if we don't spend our time looking through the windshield too, we'll forget that God is going to do new things in the future. And strangely enough, scientists and psychologists are now saying that it is more natural for us to look forward than it is to look backwards. That was surprising to me. I read an article from the New York Times, found an article that was from 2 years ago that was by a psychologist named Martin Seligman from the University of Pennsylvania. And he studies these kind of things, and he says that what is different between us and animals is not cooperation or language or tools. He says what's different between us and animals is that we look forward and plan things. He said that nobody else in the animal kingdom has a commencement ceremony dedicated to the future, right? The fish in the sea don't do that, the gorillas don't do that, nobody else looks ahead. And he says that what's unique to us is the idea that we prospectively look ahead at what's coming. In fact, he says that we should not be called Homo sapiens, which means the wise ones. He says we should be called Homo prospectus, the ones who prospectively look forward at what's coming. And he quotes this research project that they did in Chicago. So maybe some of you were part of this project. I won't make you raise your hand if you were part of it, but they took 500 Chicagoans and they texted them at various times in the day and asked them what they were thinking about and how happy they were. And it turns out that in the responses, people were thinking about the future three times as often as they were thinking about the past. And they were much, much happier when they were thinking about the future and figuring out what was coming next than they were when they were thinking about the past. Homo prospectus, people who look forward at what's coming. I like this because I think it prepares us for this new season under Pastor Clint's leadership. I am so glad that you are our pastor. You that haven't gotten to know Clint yet, Clint is wise and he's funny and he's artful. He's humble. He always knows what to say at the right time. I'm going to learn so much from Pastor Clint while he's here. I'm so grateful for his leadership. And I'm so grateful because he is filled with new ideas. Filled with new ideas. Did I mention he is filled with new ideas? And he's filled with new ideas. And when you have a pastor who is filled with new ideas, some things might change in the life of the church. Now, of course, he's going to work with the session, and he's going to figure out which ideas are good ideas and which ideas don't really fit here. He's going to get to know us better. He's going to figure it all out. But when you have a leader who is filled with new ideas, things will change in the future. It's not going to look exactly like it did in the past. And so when those changes come, it'll be good to remember that study that tells us that we are a lot happier when we are looking forward into the future than when we are looking backwards into the past. And if you don't like that study, maybe you like Isaiah, who said, "Look, I'm doing a new thing, now it sprouts up, can't you recognize it?" And if you don't like that study, and if you don't like Isaiah, maybe you'll like Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh says, "I always get where I am going by walking away from where I have been." I'll say that again. I always get where I am going by walking away from where I have been. I want to tell you a story about two churches that I think exemplify this difference between looking forward and looking backwards. They're both in rural North Dakota. They're not very much like this church. They had about 20 people in worship, each one, and they were yoked together. That means that one pastor preaches at one at, say, 8:30, and the other one at 10:30, driving between the two on a Sunday morning. So my friend Paul was the pastor of these two churches. And I was talking to him after he'd been there about 2 years. And he told me about the first church. Again, it had about 20 people in it. Neither one of these churches had had pastors for a really long time. So he's at this church, and they are so excited to have a new pastor that they take in a deep breath, and they look in the rearview mirror, and they remember that time when they had a pastor before, and that pastor did everything, and so they just settled back in their pew and did nothing. Waited for Paul to get everything right, and after about 2 years, that church looked pretty much the same. Now, the second church, before Paul started, they said, "We're going to have 40 people on your first Sunday." Not 20, but 40. And he said, "You are not going to have 40 people." I mean, he's a new pastor, so he actually said exactly what he thought. And so he said, "You are not going to have 40 people on my first Sunday." Because he knew that in so many churches, people are working so hard until the pastor comes. And then when the pastor gets there, they just sit back and say, "Finally, we have somebody to do everything." But his first Sunday came, and there were 40 people there. And then as the weeks and months went by the end of those 2 years, they had 60 people in worship, tripled the attendance in 2 years. And there was a Sunday school for kids then, and they were reaching out to their community in all sorts of ways. And they were looking through the windshield at what God could do, and they were excited about the future. Now back to the first church. They knew what was going on in the second church, and so they called a congregational meeting, and they demanded to know from Paul what the difference was between these two churches. "What's the difference between these two churches?" they said, and he stood and he smiled humbly and he said, "You want to know the difference between the two churches? Well, it's not the pastor." And I don't know what else he told them, but I know what Isaiah would tell them. I know Isaiah would say that if you spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror, not enough time looking through the windshield, you're going to get in a wreck. And I know what God would say to them and to us. "Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. Can't you see it?" In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.